DW.
The earliest and most powerful imagery in photojournalist Gerd Ludwig's life has nothing to do with a camera. Instead, it was his father's voice. He remembers at the age of four listening to his father's memories of war in a small room in a small village near Frankfurt, Germany.
At night, I would listen to the sad and soothing voice of my father as he conjured images of people fighting and of other people hiding from soldiers in stables and barns. I didn't know what my father was talking about. I considered his stories bedtime stories. Only later I realized that the people fighting were German soldiers. The people hiding from them in stables and barns were Russians filled with fear. And that my father was trying to shed his terrible memories of war this way.
His father, Robert, was a soldier in Germany's 6th Army that invaded the Soviet Union in 1942. He fought through to Ukraine and into Stalingrad, where Russian forces ultimately struck back. Ludwig says his father was among the last soldiers to be evacuated.
I asked my father later, Dad, why did you fight there? You know, he never said a single bad word about Russians. So I asked him, why did you fight there? And his answer, it was war, my son, wasn't good enough.
His father's recollections would later impact the images that would fill his viewfinder, and they would frame his point of view.
I grew up as this typical post-war German, filled with guilt for my parents' deeds. And subsequently, I started to idolize and idealize everything that my parents' generation had tried to destroy: Israel and the Soviet Union.
Guilt would be superimposed over his photography, an area of interest that started to develop when he was a teenager, although he says he never imagined that photography would turn into a career. So when it was time to go to college, he majored in political science, along with physical education and German literature. But he says he switched to photography when he realized its power after reading an impactful magazine article. He contemplated becoming a high school photography teacher in Germany, but after college in 1979, he got an assignment that would take him back to the original scene of his childhood memories. It was for the publication GEO, the German equivalent of National Geographic.
But during those days, I didn't allow myself to make critical pictures of a nation that had suffered from my parents' generation's deeds for such a long time. So while my first images there were a really depiction of the Russian soul, they lacked social and economic context. They ignored the social and economic realities of a country that had been under Soviet rule for 70 years.
He would return more than 30 times to a place that he was introduced to via his father's macabre bedtime stories.
When I first then went to Russia, I saw pictures of my childhood. I saw a country that I knew. My father had described it in his nightly stories. So I was drawn to that country. And at the same time, I think I'm still working off my German guilt by trying to understand Russia, trying to understand and respect that nation.
More international assignments followed, including shooting for the Day in the Life book franchise. In the 1980s, Ludwig relocated to the United States, where he was approached by the holy grail of photojournalists, National Geographic.
A lot of people will ask, how do you become a National Geographic photographer? They call you, you don't call them. And then I presented my work there and started to work for them. and the rest is history. I've worked for them since the late 1980s.
He has become well known for his photographic studies of countries that were once part of the former Soviet Union. On April 26, 1986, an accident led to what's considered the worst nuclear power plant disaster in history at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant in Ukraine.
I had the chance to go to Chernobyl in 1993, and I really became hooked. I returned over and over again. I was deeper inside the Chernobyl reactor than any Western still photographer.
Going deep inside the reactor required the help of an engineer guide.
So it took him a long time to open the jammed door. The adrenaline surge, of course, was incredible. The room was absolutely dark, lit only by our headlamps at the time. Wires were obstructing my view. At the end of the room, I could make out a clock. I was only able to shoot off a few strobes and wanted to wait for my flash to recharge. But at that point, the engineer already pulled me back by my shoulders. I checked my pictures outside, but they were all out of focus. I begged him to go in one more time. He gave me a few more seconds to frame the clock, which is showing 1:23 a.m., the time when on April 26, 1986, the building that housed the block number 4, when there, time stood still forever. The clock froze in that very moment.
Ludwig has been able to freeze time at Chernobyl several times since then, with repeat visits in 2011 and 2013, images that are all encapsulated in his book, The Long Shadow of Chernobyl. It features an essay by Mikhail Gorbachev, who was the president of the Soviet Union when the disaster occurred. Last year, the book won the Photo Book of the Year Award from Picture of the Year International, just one of many accolades Ludwig has received during his career as a photojournalist. Other honors include the Lucy Award for International Photographer of the Year and the Honor Medal for Distinguished Service in Journalism from the Missouri School of Journalism.
From the original master.
His celebrity as a photographer even led him to star in a beer commercial.
And here's my photograph of the taste of Pilsner Urquell.
After all these years, the drive to capture images and share what he has learned has not faded. The man who once considered becoming a high school teacher now teaches photo workshops around the world, from China to Italy. At age 69, in an era when photography seems less about the decisive moment and more about selfies, he's intrigued by all of it, from Instagram to Facebook, and he says he's still learning, at times, from his students. And he keeps moving. When we spoke at his Los Angeles studio, he had just come back from a 10-week assignment for National Geographic in Russia. But his latest personal project is closer to home.
I very rarely dealt with subjects in my hometown. And after having lived in Los Angeles for such a long time, I saw these cars, these creatures, they became to me like the blood in the veins of Los Angeles. And a visiting writer said to me, I wonder where these cars all go to sleep at night. And that sentence stuck with me for a long, long time. So I started to cruise Los Angeles at night, and I saw these cars tucked away in driveways, covered by tarps, their owners treated them like crated pets. Some of them sleep in their nightgowns. Some of them sleep very lightly covered. Others sleep in the nude. And a few lucky ones get to sleep together. The cars became my way of dealing with Los Angeles. But also I realized that as I get older and as everybody photographs or snaps pictures of everything, I became more interested not so much in the action itself, but I became interested in the results of people's actions and how people park their car, how they tuck in their car, to me became interesting and storytelling in a different way. At the same time, I went back to Chernobyl and I started to photograph the still lives that the people created in Chernobyl. They started to rearrange the gas masks and the dolls that they found there into their own still lives, and they left them sitting there. So I became very interested in these creations of still lives that humans do as a way of telling a story about their state of mind.
Ludwig's life is hardly still. It took me months to arrange for an interview. He was either on an international assignment or teaching a workshop. That's intentional.
I'm curious. I wish I had another 30 years to actively photograph. You know, my ideal point of death, at some point, somebody asked me, how do you think you would love to die? I said, I would love to die with a camera in my hand, having had a heart attack because the picture was so beautiful. But please, when I'm 100 years old.
This report was brought to you by DW.